In the book of 1 Timothy, the Apostle Paul, under inspiration, as we've noted, has really charged Timothy with maintaining truth there in that great metropolis, a very affluent area. And a number of things he is very specific about through this book. He gets back in chapter 6 to again the upholding of truth, and then shows how it is related and interrelated with a right attitude toward materialism. And we've spent several weeks looking at that during this emphasis here in the month of January, now into February. And he finishes up his charge at the end with a charge about the importance of truth. When Pompeii was destroyed by the eruption there at Mount Vesuvius, it's really amazing to see those ruins. Twice I've had the privilege of being there to see them. And back when I was there the first time, they had not taken most of what was there to museums. The second time I went, I was a bit disappointed because almost everything was gone that was in there. But it was striking. You would actually see bodies that through the all the minerals and all that had happened and the heat and so forth had been preserved, and some of them were allowed to stay there in the time that I saw it way back in the 60s. But there are a number of stories that are told by looking at what happened. The eruption occurred, the mount is right there, and there was almost no time for the people to escape. And so many people were buried. Some were found in cellars, some gone there for security, some were found in upper rooms of the buildings. And where was the Roman sentinel found? He was standing at the city gate where he had been placed by the captain, with his hands still grasping his weapon, standing tall there while the earth shook beneath him, while floods of ashes and cinders poured all around him. He stood at his post. And now, 2,000 years later, he's now been moved, but he still is standing there. Well, it is an illustration of the importance of the church being the pillar and ground of truth, and that we each as individual believers have a key role in understanding that the Word of God that we have is from the very heart of God, and it is the key for the human race to be saved. It is the key for the human race to be reached. Very familiar verses, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. All scripture. Therefore, if we as believers are going to be true to the Word of God, we have got to understand that we must stand for and live the Word of God. We must be faithful to the Word of God if we're truly going to be a man of God. And we need to understand that there's no way of getting around that. If you look with me now at 1 Timothy 6, we last week looked at the first two concluding charges given in this section about godliness with contentment, the section that dealt with food and raiment. We should be content with the basics, verse 8. That we've got to not have the desire to be rich, or we're going to fall into great temptation and struggle, for the love of money is a key root of all evil, and that many people have erred from the faith. And you see running right through this the matter that how we approach materialism, it affects directly what we believe. And then we looked at verse 11. But thou, O man of God, flee these things. This is an emergency. Do not allow materialism and the desire for things and living for the temporal grab a hold of your heart, for you're going to miss what God has for you. Flee these things. But in your fleeing, you've got to pursue, follow after with all of your might, righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Very important verse. You not only flee, make a very key decision, and that's what we talked about there with commitment last week. We need to make that decision not to allow that to control, but you've got to have a purpose. You've got to be fleeing to something, and that's allowing the Spirit of God to give you the righteousness, the reverence, the worship of God, develop your faith, the selflessness of love, the enduring faith, patience, and having that spirit of meekness, willing to allow God to use you in any way that he wants to. But now the third in this trilogy of charges we're going to look at, several verses here. Verse 12, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, folks, that's a very solemn charge. And I'm going to go down to the second verse for our first point. The motivation for the faithful man who is going to be true to truth, to the Word of God, he must understand that God the Father sees our faithfulness to the truth. In other words, our lives, how we handle truth, how we value truth, what we do with truth is observed very carefully by God the Father. God knows our loyalty to the truth. There in verse 13, I give thee charge in the sight of God. Now, I think oftentimes we know the great attributes of God. We know the fact that he's omnipotent, that's all powerful, and that he is omnipresent, he's everywhere, but we forget he's omniscient too. He knows everything. And he sees whether or not the Word of God means that much to us. Now, for the most part, I'm not talking to people here that are struggling with denying the Word of God. What we're looking at, remember, this is a charge to Timothy, a man who was leading that church here. It's more, how do we approach the Word? How important is it? How critical is it that we hold to all of it, that we stand for it, and that we live it? That's really the question that we're dealing with here. He's the one, God the Father, who quickeneth all things, all life, everything that is important, anything that will last, is all because of God. Folks, we need to remind ourselves on a regular basis, the very fact we're breathing right now is because of God. And it is good to be reminded of that. He created you. Your conception was of God, no matter what the circumstances were. You're very special to God. He allowed you to come into being, and he gave you life, just like he breathed into Adam the breath of life. And every moment that we live, it is because the God the Father quickeneth all things, and that he has done that miracle of life. But he also is the one that gives us abundant life through Jesus Christ. So everything that means something, everything that is a joy for us as a believer is also from God the Father. And so it is vital for us to realize as we approach this matter of our loyalty to the Word of God that we owe everything to the Lord. The commentator Larson says, this is not simply a nice sounding phrase, it is a critical truth. God is sovereign over all life, everyone. The false teacher and the true, the powerful and the slave, all these exist by God's mercy and life-giving power. We are cared for by his strength and goodness. This should bring comfort as well as gratitude. This is the God whom Paul called as witness to the charge he gave Timothy. Fight the good fight of faith. And my friends, it is important at times that we get stirred about the truth, that we understand everything we have, anything that's meaningful, all comes down to the Word of God and how important it is. And it ought to make a difference in our life. And the fact that God has given this to us and God is very aware of everything we do. A pastor had a golfing buddy who was, according to others, very easily frustrated on the golf course. And after bad shots, he could be very foul-mouthed. Yet the pastor himself had never heard the man utter a profane word. One day, he went ahead and just asked him about it, told him what people had said about him. He said, "Well, when I'm with my preacher, I control myself." And later, the pastor put it, this in a sermon illustration. "Suppose one realized that he or she is in God's presence at all times. What a marvelous difference that would make." And folks, we need to realize that God is very aware of how we treat truth. Stand for it, but how much do we value it? How much is it a part of our life? You can't fight for something you don't know. You can't fight for something you don't believe. You can't fight the good fight of faith if you're not living by faith. And realizing that you can't pick and choose when it comes to the Word of God. And to me, it's very sobering that that this language is used here by the Holy Spirit, that this charge of fight the good fight of faith is in the sight of God who gives life, quickeneth all things. And it's not only in front of God the Father, but also God the Son observes our loyalty. You go on in verse 13, "I give thee charge in the sight of God who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession." Christ is our perfect example. And my friends, as we look at his life, and we're to be a follower of Christ completely, well, we see the Lord Jesus, who did not waver one bit on the truth. Now, obviously, he is truth. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. But remember, Christ was in genuine humanity. His spirit was divine, second person of the Trinity. But he lived a truly human life. He was tempted in all points as we are. And so when he was pressed at key times, which would mean literally his physical life, he was completely loyal to the truth. 1 Peter 2, verse 21, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously." MacArthur said, "Our Lord is the supreme earthly example of one who held fast to his confession, who remained faithful to the Word of God no matter what the cost. He did so because he trusted in God to deliver him in life and death. When Pontius Pilate asked him, 'Are you the King of the Jews?' he fearlessly replied, 'It is as you say.' Our Lord boldly stood his ground, spoke the truth, and entrusted his life to God. Timothy or any man of God can do no less." Now, folks, we're here today because Christ didn't at all waver in his stand for the truth. And you say, "Well, that's the Lord Jesus." But look, folks, remember, who is in us as believers? It's the Spirit of God who makes Christ real. And if we truly love him, if we are truly loyal to him, if we want his heart, we have him in us to keep us loyal to the truth. And yet, under so many circumstances, we waver. Now, again, we would strongly stand for doctrine. But when it comes to that moment on the job when somebody questions truth and you don't really give the right answer because you're afraid, or you're having to make a decision about how your family's going to operate and you know what the truth is, but you make a decision to make peace instead of stand by the truth, or someone is speaking, a Christian is not speaking spirit-filled, with a spirit-filled discernment of truth, they are actually looking at it things from a more worldly, carnal perspective, and yet there's not really a stand for, you know, the Bible really does say differently how we should live. The Holy Spirit is in us, and in a gracious, kind, godly way, we can do right and we can speak forth the truth. But honestly, a lot of times we don't. In fact, you know what the greatest problem we have is? Silence. Silence. God gives great opportunities to witness and we miss them because we're more concerned about ourselves than we are to give the truth, which is powerful. The gospel is the power of God into salvation. We're quiet dads when we ought to speak up the truth. We are the leaders in the home. And in any setting that we're in, the truth stands or falls based upon our communication, our obedience, our leadership according to the truth. And Christ Jesus is worthy of us standing for the truth, for he is the truth. In simple ways, we can be used of God if we'll stand for the truth. D. James Kennedy, who was known for his burden for souls and his soul winning program, talked about a man that he was witnessing to in his home, and who thought, and he asked him who he thought Jesus was. And the man said, "Oh, he's a wonderful man. He's the greatest man who ever lived, the most loving and gracious person who ever walked upon the earth." Now, what would you do with that statement? Well, Kennedy said, "Let me tell you something I believe that will startle you. Jesus of Nazareth, the carpenter of Galilee, was and is the eternal creator of the universe, the omnipotent, omniscient, and almighty God." Now that was a contradiction of what the man had just said, but he said it graciously. And as often happens, God stepped in. Instantly, the man's eyes were filled with tears. And this man of about 55 years of age said, "I have been in church all my life. I have never heard that before. But I've always thought that is the way it ought to be, that God ought to be like Jesus." You know, there's a witness in people's hearts. If we would be just loyal to truth like Jesus was, just say it lovingly, clearly, God empowers his word. There is power in the word of God. Fight the good fight of faith. And let's get to that mandate now as our second point. Mandate for the faithful man, going back to verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith. Remember, this is all but thou, O man of God. This is all of our responsibility. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, that things that are part of that will last for eternity. We are to fight for the truth. Now, this has the idea of exerting much effort, has the idea of athletic contests or actual fighting in the matter of the military arena. In other words, whatever it takes to make sure truth is known and is clear and it is not compromised by silence or by not saying all that ought to be said. And again, I want to say the silence of evangelical believers in America has allowed a lot of untruth to go, not contested. And now, we don't need to have pugnacious attitudes. We're not talking about having a fighting spirit. That's not what's dealt with. In fact, it has more the idea of really just the strenuous activity of standing for the truth. But it is whatever it takes. When you leave a situation, truth needs to be known. Well, believe me, I've been in agonizing situations where if I don't speak up, I'm not going to be loyal to Jesus. And sometimes it could be a position that I'm in. It's a situation. It could be a misunderstanding that people might have and when I'm trying to work with them, whatever it is. But as the situation God has allowed you to be in, then we have a charge. We are to stand for the truth. By the way, if we don't stand for the truth, we will start compromising it in our own life because we're more concerned about us than we are about him. It's before the God who has created us and quickened all things. It's before Jesus who stood loyally for us and hung shamelessly on the cross. And if we are not loyal to the truth, our lives are going to then begin to compromise with the world and situations of the flesh, and we will lose that kind of heart that we ought to have. H.I. Ironside, the great expositor, said, "We are to be good soldiers, Timothy primarily, but all believers are called upon to fight the good fight of faith." It is interesting to note that in the next epistle, when we come to the last chapter, which was written by Paul in a prison cell while waiting for martyrdom, he says, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith," and that's the key. He did not ask others to do that which he himself had not done. And folks, we have the privilege of being part of the pillar and ground of truth. Truth goes forward not through institutions, it goes forward through local churches. Local churches that stand for the truth and live unapologetically for the truth and have the power of God upon them are the way that truth continues forward. We are living in 2026. Isn't it a miracle that truth is still so dominant today? It's because of godly people who fought the good fight of faith. It's because churches understood that they should be the pillar and ground of the truth. That's how it happens. And so we have a very sacred trust of the truth, that we must know the truth. We must love the truth. We must be in a relationship with the God of truth, and we need to live out that truth in a way that is very clear. Fighting for the truth is showing forth the truth in our lives. The relationship between truth and holiness in a life is similar to that between light and vision. Light cannot create an eye or give a blind eye vision, but it's essential to seeing. Wherever light penetrates, it dissipates darkness and brings everything into view. And so, folks, if we have a faith-dominated life, if light is there because we're walking in the Spirit and we love truth and we are, as God leads, we are living out the truth as we see it, we're walking by faith, there is a light you can't even realize that you have shining. And that, remember, darkness always gives way to light. And though Satan has enormous darkness, he's blinding the eyes of them that believe not. When we love the truth, we are not going to compromise the truth. We're going to know it and ask God to make it real in our lives. That's how darkness is dissipated. You know, every community is dark. Man, you put a bunch of believers in that community that are living out the light, a lot of darkness flees. I'm convinced that when darkness flees, most people will get saved. But we're not living, our lives are not the light bearers that they ought to be. And so that needs to be very much a big part of our life. We need to guard the entirety of the Word of God. I didn't mention the last part of this verse, whereunto thou art called and professed a good profession among what? Many witnesses. In other words, our confession of truth, just like Christ's confession of truth, needs to be very public. Do people know what you believe? Dads? Moms? Does your family know what you believe? From your lips and your life? Do the people on the job know a lot about truth because of you? It's really an important question. And even among other believers, do believers really know what you believe? Is it clear you are a truth person? And there'll be a humility about it because your life is being lived according to truth and you're seeing what God is doing. And that's what he's asking us here. And then we need to guard the entirety of the Word of God, the good fight of faith. It's the highest level. It is that which is most important. It is something that God sees as beautiful. And the entire Word of God must be stood for. Genesis to Revelation. Let me just ask you this probing question. Have you read every book of the Bible? Have you read every chapter in the Bible? And I'm all about studying portions, but that's why we have a Bible reading schedule that we give simply to encourage you. You need to know Genesis to Revelation. You're going to find nuggets in places you would never dream if you're reading through the Word of God. And you'll start putting two pieces together. You'll see the interrelationship of what God has said. And you will see that the Word of God is a jewel. It is a treasure. It will stir you. It will just answer questions. And you'll begin to realize God has given us a masterpiece from His very heart. But you can't know that unless you are embracing a constant reading and studying of God's Word. And I don't mind saying that strongly, because I know if you do it, you will be blessed. This is not a duty, it's a joy. Being in the Word, there's nothing better. It is the refuge for your soul. It's the strength for your life. It is the refreshment for your heart in the difficult days. It will quench your thirst. Everything that you need, you will find as you yield your heart to the Lord in the Word of God. And you know, when the Word of God is meeting the need of your heart, you're going to stand for it, because you're going to be loyal to that which God has used to bless you. Paul ended his life, as we mentioned, about, I fought the good fight of faith. Earlier in that chapter 4 of 2 Timothy, verse 2, preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Timothy, preach the whole thing. Whether it's popular or not, whether people like it, if it's not culturally acceptable, preach the word of God. When Emperor Valens sent messengers to lure Eusebius, the early church father, into heresy by fair words and glowing promises, the preacher answered them and said, "Alas, sirs, these speeches are fit to catch children, but we who are taught and nourished by the sacred scriptures are ready to suffer 1,000 deaths," note this, "rather than permit one tittle of the scriptures to be altered." That was the early church. And they threatened him with the confiscation of everything, and he said, "There's nothing to lose, because we will be set at liberty if you take our lives." The truth was more important. Well, thirdly, let's look at the manner of the faithful man. Fight the good fight of faith. Let's look at verse 14. "That thou keep this commandment," this charge. This is the charge that he was giving to Timothy to flee, to follow after, and now to fight the good fight of faith. He said, "Keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable unto the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ." H.A. Ironside again, "This is a very solemn charge indeed, and it should come home to every one of us. We are commanded to keep the truth of God. That thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable unto the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ." Our Savior himself was a confessor when here on earth, and we are called to follow him in confessing his name. That's very interesting. This practical verse gives the reason really why we don't stand for the truth like we should, because our lives don't match the truth. You know, if you haven't been a good testimony on the job, it's pretty hard to stand for the truth. If as a mother or father, you have been weak in your Christian testimony among your children, it's pretty hard to stand for the truth. And with anyone. And so this is why this is said. By the way, folks, at any time we can get right with God, and we can be very humble before those that we are influencing, and admit that our lives are not in line with the Word of God, and then God can bring back that testimony and you can stand for the truth. But let's just look quickly at this. Be free from vice, without spot. Keep this charge without spot. Self must be overcome. That's why, by the way, as we've had our stewardship month, giving is one of the first key steps of putting a dagger into self. That this is not mine, this is God's. I give the tithe off of the gross income to him, that I fully understand that I'm but a steward, and I am not living for myself. I am living for how God, in the way that God wants me to live, and I freely give this. And other steps like that are so important. James 1:27, very interesting. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, the selflessness, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. There's a lot of reasons why we don't want to be worldly. We throw that term around, but it just simply means we are influenced by Satan's world, his organized world to keep people from the Lord. And so one of the main reasons is that we want our testimony to be what it ought to be so that truth can be held up high. A distinguished pastor from New York was approached by a doctor, a member of his congregation, who was concerned about his health. And he handed him some theater tickets and said, "Take these. You need the recreation of going to a play." The pastor looked at them and he saw that they were tickets to a play, the kind he could not conscientiously attend. And he said kindly, "Thank you, but I can't take them. I can't go." "Well, why not?" said the doctor. "Doctor, it's this way. You're a physician, a surgeon. In fact, when you operate, you scrub your hands meticulously until you are especially clean. You wouldn't dare operate with dirty hands. I'm a servant of Christ. I deal with precious human souls. I wouldn't dare do my service with a dirty life." And you could say, "I cannot hold the truth with a dirty life." Folks, there's things we can say no to. God will give us victory. Did you know that real living and real joy comes with being fully right with God? That's when there's the abundant life. And there is victory over habits and things that we think we need to have. The number one thing that is polluting our lives today is technology. And Christians need to take a good, long, hard look at what they're hearing and listening to and what they're seeing. And how is that affecting my life? Is it enhancing the truth and making me a light bearer? Or is it bringing in aspects of the world that are corrupting my soul? Folks, this world needs the light. There's nothing too hard to give up when you think of what Christ did for us and the needs of the people around us that God has given to us. And God will give us victory. Romans 8:37, "Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us so." And that leads right into the second idea. They're unrebukable, free from censure. Our testimony should be in alignment with the truth. I don't have time to go into it. I'll let them put up Titus chapter 2 here, verse 1. But it talks about the practical living of men and women. It starts off with, "But speak the things which become sound doctrine." Goes on down, talks about how older women, older men should live and be godly. "That the word of God be not blasphemed," in verse 5. "Young men, that the doctrine show incorruptness," speaking even of people on the job, "that they may adorn the doctrine of our Savior in all things." Practical living upholds the doctrine of God. And then final thought here, steadfast and expectant. In 1 John 3:3, speaking of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, "And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure." We need to fight the good fight of faith. Jesus could come back today. And we need to keep in mind that we need to live this life without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. And one of our deep desires ought to be that we're a light bearer. We are a truth defender. We are living it out when the trumpet sounds. And folks, every one of us need to live in that consciousness. It could be today. It could be today. We may not have our evening service today. Jesus could come. And that ought to purify us. G. Campbell Morgan said, "I never begin my work in the morning without thinking that perhaps he may interrupt my work and begin his own. I am not looking for death, I am looking for him." And that ought to be the way all of us are. But are we really in that kind of relationship with him? Conclude with this story. Waiting for to be interviewed for a job way back when the telegraph was the big deal. As a wireless operator, there was a large group of applicants, and they didn't really pay much attention. They were all talking to a series of dots and dashes that was coming over the loudspeaker. Suddenly, one of them left and rushed into the employer's office. Soon he returned smiling. I got the job. They said, how did you get ahead of us? They asked. Well, you might have considered it if you hadn't been so busy talking and didn't hear, and you didn't hear the manager's coded message. The message said, the man I need must always be on the alert. The first one who interprets this and comes directly into my private office will be hired. How many of us aren't tuned in? See, the Holy Spirit's sending a message very clearly, much better than dots and dashes, to us about the testimony and about the life that we ought to be living and the people that we need to be touching. Fight the good fight of faith. Oh, man of God, I charge you before God the Father and God the Son. If the truth is going to go on, folks, it's our privilege, it's our responsibility to be bearers of